Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, MyBookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with MyBookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At MyBookie.com, they're not just another faceless sports book. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long. This is the Zabecast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Wednesday, July 24, 2024. Thank you for downloading. You know, I was thinking to myself, who have I not talked to in a long time? And the answer is Al Galt. Hey, yo, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on? Is this just audio or video?
This is audio right now, brother.
Okay. Oh, no problem. This works.
All right. Al Galdi of the Al Galdi podcast, which has now surpassed how many episodes?
Oh, we are approaching 900. We're at 872.
Nice. Are we going to have a celebration of 1,000? Can we rent out a ballroom somewhere?
Absolutely. If you're paying, I'm down. I'm down.
I think there is an opportunity for some live crossover event between you, me, Scott, Solly, all the OGs from back in the 980 days. But, you know, that would require work to put it together and effort, and I'd want to make a little bit of money on it somehow. Let's keep it aspirational. How about that?
Yeah, it sounds better that way. Yeah.
It sounds better. Right, in theory. All right. Al Galdi Podcast, get it wherever you get your podcast. Make it part of your daily podcast diet. No one more prepared and knows more about more things. I have multiple sticky notes for you today, plus a game we're going to call Versus. It's a very complicated game. This versus that. It's never been done before in sports radio or sports television, Galdi.
Right,
but I'm going to give it a shot today with you. Versus.
All right, we'll see what happens.
This versus that. Okay, let's start with preseason in the National Football League and training camp. Training camps have started up. And I run into this now every year with some people that love football more than they should and feel like it needs to be defended. I say training camp is necessary but not significant. And those that are really deep into the Kool-Aid get very angry when I say that. And there's no amount, Galdi, of examples of, remember this guy? Remember that guy? Remember this thing? Remember what you thought when? About anything that happens in August or even July now in the NFL. Where do you stand on what is training camp and preseason overall?
Well, I think the two are different. So I think camp matters more than preseason. I think it is necessary, like you said, and I guess it would depend on how you define significant. I mean, you have to have some form of preparation, some sort of a multi-week
right.
setting.
That's which the necessary part of it.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
necessary for them, but I don't think anything of import comes out of August. It's all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, I think by and large, that's true. I mean, I think for every one example you could say of, well, this guy, you know, shined bright and he made the 53-man roster and he ended up being a good player. There are 10 to 15 examples of guys who got press and attention for looking good in August and then did nothing come the regular season. So I think that's true. I mean, the preseason, to me, it is hysterical. The NFL is the only league that publicly lambasts its preseason.
Its own like the product.
NFL, yeah, the NFL for years has told us this thing is not necessary, and finally it looks like we're going to get what we should have had, I think, a while ago, which is an 18-game regular season, and presumably that would mean, what, a two-game preseason maybe? I guess we'll see. But, yeah, the preseason has become basically worthless, and you see that with so many teams now not playing key players in preseason games.
Yeah, you know the NFL preseason used to be, and I'm checking this right now, 6 games.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I'm trying to remember when it was, Galdi. They went away from 6 games. Of course, guys did not keep in shape all year long. So they would pick them up on their way to training camp and then be like, all right, boys, you're in for a rough couple weeks. It's training camp time. Time to get in shape.
But it's ridiculous because the regular season was 14 games. So you had a preseason that was almost half as long as the regular season. I mean, how insane is that to look back on?
I know.
That's how they did it.
From 1970 through 1977, the NFL season consisted of 14 regular season games and six exhibition games, which is bonkers. I love watching the old NFL film stuff, and you being a noted workout guy, Galdi, I love seeing the training camp video of NFL players and what they looked like shirtless.
Oh, yeah.
Exercising back in the 1970s. To say that the evolution of fitness and training and muscular development has come a long way is an understatement.
It is amazing, and you know, you see it just in like when you'll see a photo of a 40-something player from the 70s versus a 40-something player now. Not that there are many of those, but like, you know, Tom Brady versus like George Bland or somebody like that, and how much older these guys look back in the day as compared to now. The other thing that I love about like 1970s NFL films preseason footage is when you see what a press conference looked like in the 70s for an NFL head coach.
Yes.
And it's literally him standing at some plastic table with like 4 people in a room. I mean, it is so like just nuts and bolts with the way things were versus the way things are.
Maybe even smoking a cigarette during some press conference or a pipe, which was the thing back in the 70s. So, all right, so the NFL preseason is going to have – well, the training camps have begun, preseason to follow. We'll get all ginned up. We'll start to make wild extrapolations based on what we've seen. It's necessary for the teams and the players to do this, and that's fine. And I don't mind fans getting into their team and speculating, but I just caution everybody, please, pace your takes. Pace your takes on the preseason. How do you feel your Commanders are looking, buddy?
Well, I'm hoping that the team does well, but we've hoped that hope many times over the years. I mean, I think that there are sort of two levels at which you view the Commanders, right? There's the macro level, the bigger picture level of new ownership, new front office, new coaching staff, a structure in place by which you feel like legitimate success finally can happen. But specific to the micro this coming season, I mean, you know, the over under win totals are more or less, you know, 6.5 in that range. I'd like to think that if things break well, this team could get to maybe 8 or 9 wins. It's going to depend on how Jaden Daniels does, but I think most fans, myself included, are bracing for, you know, what probably will not be a particularly good season. But, you know, there's more to it than that. Like, I think if Daniels does well, if Daniels shows promise, that's a successful season. I don't know that it necessarily is going to come down to wins and losses this year.
Has he been named the starter already?
No, and actually it's funny, it was on Tuesday morning that there was a joint press conference, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, and Dan addressed that. That was actually the first question he got asked, and he said, you know, there's a process we're abiding by. He said it's not a secret, essentially saying he will be named the starter, but he won't name him the starter just yet. So we're on our way there, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, I went back to find this headline about, you know, stuff that you think in the preseason, and it turns out, no, not the case. Len Pascarelli, ESPN.com. Remember our boy, old Lenny Pastabelli?
Love Len. Yeah.
Yes. Headline, Spurrier's early success catching attention. This was from August 27th of 2002. So in other words, after he'd already shown some stuff in the preseason, like needlessly running up the score in a game in Osaka, Japan against the Niners. All right. And
yeah,
it says,
oh, yeah,
given what has transpired in preseason play to this point, maybe Steve Spurrier should re-nickname himself the old ballsy coach instead. And then he goes on to say that, you know, this is the key phrase. Ready? It says, players believe that even though he lacks professional experience as a coach, that he is too smart not to succeed.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yep. We didn't have Spurrier. Well, we found out about Spurrier. Work ethic was nowhere near, right, what was needed to be good in the NFL.
No, and he famously made fun of the then Saints head coach and future Washington defensive coordinator, Jim Haslett, and he called him Jim Hazlett. And Haslett was known for, like, spending, you know, hours and hours at the facility. And Spurrier's like, well, I don't need to be doing that. And, of course, maybe it would have helped him. Now, I don't know, maybe it wouldn't have mattered, you know,
right,
because his scheme was probably fundamentally flawed for that period of time. But yeah, he was not exactly a grinder, Spurrier, when it came to being an NFL head coach.
No, he made sure to end practice soon enough in the summer to get nine holes in, outside of where he lived out there, west of Redskins Park at, Beacon Hill Golf Course. And he would get nine holes in. I had people going, I can't believe I saw Spurrier out here today. Didn't they have training camp today at Redskin Park? I'm like, yep. What's your point? There's a couple hours of daylight. He had time. Let's go.
It was said, too, that Marvin Lewis, who was the defensive coordinator, was, like, running the practices more than Spurrier was, too. So, yeah, it was bad. It was very bad.
Yeah. The article also says, some believe that his, quote, fun-and-gun offense can create an instant impact. Narrator, the fun-and-gun was a bad idea in the NFL. That the college game was not suited to Spurrier and his schemes. Is there a new thing on the horizon in the NFL? The zone read that Kaepernick and RG3 ran wild with in 2012 has been fully absorbed. Elements of it still exist. The RPO is a staple of many offenses, but nobody runs as much true zone read where your quarterback is getting 10, 15 carries a game anymore.
No, I mean, you'll see quarterbacks get like 8 to 10, but yeah, 15 is probably high. I mean, what I think is interesting about Spurrier is this. So that offense, Spurrier was the Skins head coach 2002-03. I wonder if with today's rules, today's officiating, today's philosophies on passing offense, if something like the fun and gun might actually have a shot. Now, I think part of the problem with Spurrier was personnel. I don't think he had very good players, and that's on him. He took a lot of his former Gators.
Gee, you think Patrick Ramsey was not a QB1 that could do some damage in the league?
No, although you were a big Ramsey guy.
I was in love with Ramsey. I thought he was Brett
you
Favre.
Liked him.
Like an idiot.
But I think about like the fun and gun. I remember when I was a kid, the run and shoot, and people like Buddy Ryan called it the chuck and duck. And the reality is, I think in today's NFL, things like the run and shoot and the fun and gun might actually have a chance. I think a lot of what we see in today's NFL is sort of, if not rooted in those offenses, then there are a lot of parallels between what we see now and what was done back then. So perhaps our guy Spurrier was ahead of his time. I wonder.
Yeah. There are trends and they emerge and then people copy them to some degree of success and the other. It's a copycat league and it's a cyclical league where things do come around and go. You mentioned the 18 games. That is now, because camps are starting, this is getting a lot of traction. A lot of coaches, a lot of people being asked about it. LaFleur was asked about it in Green Bay this morning, and he said, I don't even think about that. You know, he's like, I'm just focused on this season, doesn't want to have a comment on it. You would be in favor of it, I assume?
100%. 100%. Yeah.
And you have no worries about stretching the workload and injury exposure for these players over two more games?
No.
Or one more game from what they've got right now?
Yeah, what I think also should happen is there should be an additional bye week and the roster should be expanded. So I think you should work with the NFLPA, but I think more product would be better. I think the regular season is still very short. We see how incredibly popular and profitable the NFL is. And, you know, whenever people say like, well, if they go to 18 games, what does this mean for the players? Here's what this means for the players. More money, because the way that things work is the more that revenues go up, the more that players get paid, the more that not just the cap, but the floor goes up. So everyone will benefit from this. So I think there's a way to do this to where you can certainly mitigate the increased injury risk and also just make a lot more money. And we know that that's what the NFL is about more than anything.
You don't buy into the, I want a bye week where the whole league is shut down and there's the All-Star
no.
game.
No.
Like Joe Burrow no. suggested. That's dumb. Like, never stop the NFL.
No, no. Never. I mean, I do think bye weeks should be condensed more into the middle of the regular season. I think some of these super early and super late bye weeks are ridiculous. Now, if you went to two bye weeks, that would be different. But as things stand now, like Washington the last 2 years has had a week 14 bye week. I think that's absurd. I think you should cluster the bye weeks between, like, say, week 7 and 12, something like that. But no, shutting down the league for a week, I would not be doing that.
What's worse, a week 14 bye or a week 4 bye? I'm not sure when the first bye weeks hit. Is it as early as week 4?
It's 4 or 6, I think. Okay. I would rather have a late bye than an early bye. I think an early bye is almost pointless. And I do think it's a competitive disadvantage when you have teams off that early when you're just, you know, getting going in your regular season.
Well, a lot of times the late bye is also worthless because you may be out of it by then. You're like, well, this doesn't do us any good now. We're fucking beaten, bruised, battered, and out at this point. I would agree. Put the two bye weeks back to back. Have half the league off and half the league off. Condense them into the middle for competitive equity. The problem with that is they've got games all over the weekly map, Thursday, now Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and they got them all over the world. Time zones, travel, London, Germany, Brazil. So they need that flexibility to go, okay, well, if you play over here, we're going to give you a bye to recover after the travel. So I'm not sure that our plan, our wish to have them condensed into 2 weeks would actually work.
Yeah, I do think they could do a better job than having, you know, like we said, week 14 buys and buys, you know, 4 or 6 weeks into the season. Like, that to me is just ridiculous. So at the very least, I think you could combat that. And the other thing that I wish they would do, and I'm sure there are reasons they don't do this, but the constant uneven distribution of 1 o'clock hour games versus 4 p.m. hour
Agreed.
Games. Is there a way to make that less lopsided? It has been so lopsided for so long.
Yeah, you're right. The product could be stretched a lot farther from the course of September into January. And it surely could be stretched a lot better during the week because they pour out too much dead liquid at 1 o'clock on Sundays.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, will they listen to us? Probably not.
No.
But hey, we said what we want, so at least it's out there.
Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to KundryMD.com/energy. And order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, MyBookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with MyBookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At MyBookie.com, they're not just another faceless sports book. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long.
All right, let's do a hard pivot. Pivot to baseball, Galdi, one of your passions.
Sure.
So the other day I was talking right here on the Zabecast about a story of our friend CJ, Orioles fan, as you are, talking about re-signing Corbin Burnes, who they acquired from the Brewers this past offseason. And we started talking about what he's going to cost. And the number was approaching $40 million. Now, let's not quibble over the price. It's going to be something close. It's going to be eye-peelingly expensive for him. I said, and this is where I'm going to lean on you to explain it to me like I'm a 10-year-old, how can you justify that much money, even for a great pitcher, given it's only one guy?
Well, you can from this standpoint. In the, say, 30 to 34 games that he starts, he impacts the game enough to where he's impacting the team over the course of a season the way that, say, a position player would impact the team. That's why if you go by wins above replacement war, you'll see that pitcher wars, when the players are good, can be as high, even higher, than position player wars when those guys are really good.
And they calculate that impact based not just on wins, losses. That's such a simple stat for simpletons who don't know baseball. It's all about things like, you know, how many six-inning starts does he give you? What is his whip? You know, these things that, like, well, he may not have won the game, but look at the chance he gave your club 34 times a year.
Yeah, war factors in volume of work in addition to excellence. So if you are really good and you provide, say, 200 innings as a starter, like, you're going to have a high war as a pitcher. Now, I think with a pitcher, though, the conversation with paying a guy is, should you pay any pitcher anymore $30, $40 million with the frequency with which these guys are getting hurt? And I think that's the concern. Burnes is going into his 30s. He's been very durable. He's been very good. But all of these guys, they end up falling off a cliff. And that would be my concern with Burnes. At some point, this is going to stop. He's been so good for a while now. Is that going to continue into his 30s?
Yeah. I looked at some slap who was like 50th in starts last year, and he was making $10 million a year for the Giants. And I'm like, well, why don't you just sign one or two of these guys? Wouldn't that be better money at half the price for two guys who could put it together? And the baseball people responded by saying, no, not exactly, because the stud pitchers, when healthy, lean on your expected win totals in a way that nobody else can.
They help immensely, there's no doubt, but the problem is these guys are dropping like flies. It is amazing, and it's not even like, okay, we've gotten a little bit better at this. We've gotten worse at this. The frequency of UCL surgeries has skyrocketed even over like the last 10 years. And over the last 10 years, teams have been monitoring innings and, you know, paying attention to pitcher workloads. It's not like teams are being reckless with these guys, and yet they're still getting hurt. Baseball cannot get its arms around this injury problem for pitchers. And so I think it's really tough right now. Like, Burnes is a perfect example. He's great. He has been durable. Raise your hand if you expect that to last. And if you don't, then should you be giving him a contract for $200, $300 million? That's what's
right.
so tough.
Right. Would you add, what would GM Galdi pay Burns?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're going to pay a guy, he's the kind of guy you do pay. So you'd have to see what the asking price is. But I think another part of this is Mike Elias and the Orioles have done a great job of drafting and developing. How confident are they in the pitchers they have in the farm system? Because if Burns is demanding $300+ million, I don't think that that's a wise investment. I think there are not many blanket rules that you can abide by. But I think if an MLB team abided by the rule of we're never giving any player a $300 million right. contract or even a $200 million contract, you're going to be right more often than you're wrong because so many of those contracts don't work out.
Right. You're going to be right more than you're wrong, but your fans are going to hate you and call you cheap because their favorite players are going to leave or sign with their rival, and then you're going to be angry. And you're going to go to Reddit and you're going to start a whole thread ripping the shit out of Brian Cashman or someone else.
But you know what's interesting with Burns, right? So the Brewers traded Burns. Where are the Brewers right now? They're in first place. If you're a smart team, if you're a well-run team, you can overcome losing one player because in baseball, one guy can only impact things so much.
Yeah. By the way, are we talking F war or B war? I just want to be clear on this.
I prefer B war, but we can use F war if you like.
By the way, what does the B and the F stand for?
So B war is Baseball Reference's version of war, and then F-War is Fangraphs version of war. There's also a Baseball Prospectus version of war. We need to condense all the wars into one war, but we haven't done that yet. So
condense all the wars into one world war of baseball murdery.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of Fangraphs, I have a running bit on my show here in Milwaukee where when the Brewers are doing well, periodically through the season, they go, let me go check the POF. And I go to Fangraphs.com for their playoff odds, which are fluctuating with every game that goes by. What do you think, Al Galdi, about POF as a calculated notion?
Yeah, I think it's good. You know, it's based on, in my understanding, it's based on simulations. So, you know, there's a wisdom to that, but, you know, it's not gospel.
No, you can't take it to the bank, obviously.
No,
sports
no,
are still random. That's why we love them, but yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's worth looking at if you're trying to assess, okay, like given the odds, given the probabilities, where is my team at? What are we looking at? You know, should my team be a buyer or a seller come the trade deadline? I think it's worth looking at. But, you know, I think you also have to understand like what it is. You know, you also get like with Fangraphs team projections for every season. And the projections at times are deadly accurate, but there are many examples of them being wildly inaccurate.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, you kind of understand what you're looking at.
Yeah, of course, when they're doing well and the POF is rising and I go and check it on the air, I'm accused of being the jinx. Like, don't do that. You're going to jinx it. I can't believe you're going to check out the POF right now. Of course, I went to check out the POF after, I think, 1 week this year just to piss people off.
Well, that's
off.
A little, I don't know about that.
A little premature, but look, you can never start too early. Did the Hall of Fame induction last weekend fly under the radar, everyone's radar, or am I just punched out of what used to be an annual summer milestone?
No, you're right. It did fly under the radar. The Hall of Fame has been really damaged by all of the confusion and the angst and the arguing over the PED era. And so the Hall of Fame, it just isn't the deal that it used to be. To say nothing of MLB in its infinite wisdom has games going on as the Hall of Fame inductions are going on. Now, MLB does not run the Hall of Fame.
That didn't used to be the case, right?
I don't, maybe many years ago it wasn't, but I know in my lifetime it has been the case. And this has always been an amazing thing to me, how MLB like goes out of its way for people not to be fans of MLB. Like MLB, the NFL puts on a masterclass of how to market itself, how to generate new fans. MLB constantly does things to where you're like, huh? And the induction thing with the Hall of Fame is one of them. Now, again, MLB does not run the Hall of Fame, but that you have games going on head-to-head with your Hall of Fame inductions, like how many people really are going to be watching the Hall of Fame inductions if their team is playing? That just has always been so odd to me. MLB did this with the draft for years up until recently. was having the draft take place as games were going on. Now at least they start the draft on a Sunday night before the All-Star break. That to me makes sense. But, you know, you got to think with a little bit of marketing acumen. And I feel like MLB is missing that.
Also. Why wouldn't you have it on Wednesday or Thursday after the All-Star game?
I agree. That makes total sense.
Those are open days.
I know.
Then instead of Boo Ben Canop Day on this podcast and my shows, I could have the Hall of Fame Day and get into
100%. And they don't do that. And so you're right. It gets buried now.
That said, this year's class was not exactly full of sizzle for the casual fan. But they say future classes are looking more loaded. Next year's class will include Ichiro and CC Sabathia. Those should be first ballot guys, right?
Ichiro, yes. I'd have to look closer at Sabathia. He's a strong candidate. I don't know if he's necessarily first ballot, but he's definitely a candidate.
Okay. And then there's a bunch of first timers, but I'm not going to list them all because sometimes they're on that first time list and they're nowhere near being Hall of Famers, like Ben Zobrist. I don't think Ben Zobrist is a Hall of Famer, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, although he was a sabermetrics darling back in the day.
Was he really?
No,
okay.
Yeah, I don't think he's a Hall of
Famer. Billy Wagner last year on the ballot for him.
He should be in. He should have been in years ago.
Really? Okay. The 2026 ballot will have Cole Hamels and Ryan Braun.
Your guy, Braun. Well, there's a perfect example. What do you do with Ryan Braun? Great career, but he has the PED stain. And so if that rubs you the wrong way, and I don't blame you if it does, what do you do with him? And that's the problem with all of this. There never has been, there never will be an answer for what to do with the PED people. There is no right answer. It's kind of up to you. Everyone has their own standard. It's totally subjective. And I think it really has harmed the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is not the massive deal it was.
Yeah, Ryan Braun, relatively short career for a slugger, 14 seasons. But yeah, the PED thing and the way he lied about it to the PP collector did not sit well with many Milwaukee and Wisconsinites up here. Shin-Soo Chu will be on the ballot in 2026, so please make a note of that for those that want to vote for Shin-Soo Chu. And Manny Ramirez last year on the ballot will be in 2026. I'm kind of surprised that he didn't quite get over the finish line.
No, I mean, again, he's a PED guy. Great stats. If you don't care about PEDs, he's an automatic Hall of Famer. He was a dominant offensive player for years, but the PED thing has worked against him.
All right. Before I get to my game of verses, real quick, Hulk Hogan and Trump.
Yeah.
I want to talk WWE wrestlers and politics and just how common or uncommon it is for any of them to wade into the mud with politics on one side or the other.
Yeah, it's not common. I mean, you have had, like, you know, you had Jesse Ventura who went into politics and became the governor of Minnesota. But in terms of people in pro wrestling weighing in on politics, no, you have not had that often. You have had, like, Linda McMahon served in the Trump administration. So there was that. Vince McMahon's what you would say is a strange wife because they haven't been together in years.
Right.
But yeah, in terms of like publicly advocating for someone, there's been very little of that. You're right.
Did it surprise you that Hulk Hogan did that?
No, I mean, he's never been political. I don't think it's stunning that he's a fan of Trump. You know, Hogan, you got to keep this in mind. So he got caught saying the N-word years ago.
Yes. And his daughter. Right? Didn't he say this about who his daughter was dating?
Yes. Yeah.
And he said, I'd rather her date so and so instead of this. And it was like, holy shit, dude, that is racist as hell.
He did. It was quite bad. And to this day, WWE has done things with him since then, but WWE does not use him anywhere near the level that it could be. And I think the N-word thing is a big part of that. So, I did kind of wonder if you were going to see him ever do anything like what he did, but
right.
You know, he's still a big name, and you got to keep this in mind too. Donald Trump, Trump Plaza in 1988 and 1989 hosted WrestleMania, and Trump was at that WrestleMania. And then he years later performed at a WrestleMania. So Trump is a wrestling guy. Hogan was WWE's top guy when Trump Plaza hosted those WrestleManias. So I think Trump probably has an affinity for Hogan.
Right. All right. Let's move on to versus. Here we go. It's very complicated. This versus that.
Okay.
That versus this. Mic'd up MLB players in a live game versus mic'd up NFL players that you hear the Wednesday after the games via Inside the NFL. Which one's better?
I like mic'd up MLB players during a game because it's so abnormal, and that you can have a guy mic'd up as he's fielding a ball to me is just crazy.
Right. I love it when they're like, yeah, you know, I feel like my swing's coming around. I'm getting the ball in the barrel. Whoa, hold on a second. Okay. And then you hear him like make the catch. Okay, where were we?
Yeah.
That is classic.
That's
all right.
Good.
Versus in-season NBA tournament versus the first four in the NCAA.
I would say first four because that is part of the NCAA tournament. The in-season NBA tournament did go better than I thought it might and was more well-received than I think a lot of people thought. And I did like the courts. I actually thought they looked pretty good. But it's regular season NBA versus the NCAA tournament. And I know college basketball isn't what it was, but the NCAA tournament is still a big deal.
All right, versus the Pat McAfee show or Inside the NBA?
I'd say the McAfee show just because of, like, cultural influence. I mean, you could argue that right now is the number one sports show, especially with the guests that it gets. But
what is Al Galdi like better, though?
I would say McAfee. I think he's pretty entertaining. I mean, you don't go to him for, like, hardcore sports breakdowns.
No, he doesn't rip anybody.
No, and he doesn't rip anybody. You're right about that. But, like, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Adam Schefter, Ian Rapoport, especially if you're an NFL fan, he gets a lot of good stuff. He got Shams Charania to rip Adrian Wojnarowski.
That was good.
Juicy a few weeks back. Yeah, so I feel like that's become kind of newsy. But Inside the NBA is an all-time great show, so I certainly would not argue with anyone who says that.
All right, versus Kay Adams versus Molly Kierum.
Oh, I'd say Kay Adams.
Okay. Yeah. Streaming versus cable.
Oh, streaming.
Okay. Jokic versus Giannis.
I'd say probably Jokic.
A 50 home run slugger, which I don't know the last one of those we had, Judge, right? Or a 20-game winner.
A 50-homer slugger. Wins are meaningless.
Okay. Then finally, versus. What would you rather have for your football team? Justin Tucker, the best, clutchest, long-range bomber with a leg, or a guarantee that your coach would have all three timeouts in the final 4 minutes of the fourth quarter of every single game, no matter what?
Probably the kicker, but that is a good question. That is a tough one because, as you know, so many coaches do not have those timeouts in that abundance.
Yeah, I love Tucker, but I am a timeout fanatic.
If you could
lock away my coach's timeouts in an impenetrable lockbox until at least 4 minutes are left in the fourth, it's worth a win and a half a year, in my humble estimation. They would still fuck up how to use them in the final 4 minutes, but the fact that they have them would be a huge tactical advantage, in my humble opinion. But what do I know, Galdi? Like you and everyone else, I only watch the NFL three screens at a time all day, every day, during the season, so maybe I do know something, right?
Yeah, no, you're right. Teams still do not handle those things the way that they should, and there still seems to be this lack of grasping of the concept of first half timeouts go away, use them at your leisure. Second half timeouts are very different. Like, they're two very different entities.
Right. It's Mardi Gras beads versus gold. First 100%. Half timeouts, fling them to the first chick who lifts her bra. Second half timeouts, do not give them up under severe duress unless it's absolutely necessary. All right. I would be remiss if I didn't get the Galdi life update. As you're working your way through young fatherhood, give us an update, buddy.
Yeah, so my son is 6. My daughter is 3. My son is still very much into landscaping and landscaper.
Yeah, he loves to cut the grass and trim things up. Is he out there helping you?
Yes, he is. He pretends to blow the leaves, and he actually now tells me what to do. And
wait a minute.
Yell
pretends?
At me about,
give him a leaf blower.
A heavy duty leaf. I could
give
I could
a real you know, one.
He's
get
6
one of
years
the,
old. Maybe he's ready.
Get one of the electric ones like I have. The Ego power tools. They're very fun to use. He would go crazy having fun with that. Okay. And the 3-year-old daughter is into what?
She likes to dance, so I don't know if she's going to be a future dancer, but she'll dance in front of the TV when cartoons are on and playing songs, so okay. Might have something there, yeah.
Ballet, not pole, just saying. I mean, I know no. You got a handle on that, but yeah.
Well, you know, but if you told me a super lucrative OnlyFans, maybe that's a different conversation, but we're not there yet, though.
No, we're not. We're never getting there either. She'll probably become the doctor, the researcher that cures cancer or something great
right,
like that.
Right.
All right, Galdi, as always a pleasure. The Al Galdi podcast available wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll talk again soon, my friend.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And that's a wrap for this Tuesday into Wednesday. Thanks for listening and downloading. Remember, you can be ad-free if you go premium. Go to zabe.com/premium and sign up. You get 12 months for the price of 11 when you buy for a year. Otherwise, go month to month, cancel whenever you're mad at me for whatever reason, and I will not bother you. Thanks for listening. Have a great Wednesday, and we will see you next time.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Feeling the heat of the dog days of summer? Well, MyBookie.com is here to turn it up. While you're lounging by the pool, you could also be scoring big with MyBookie.com. From baseball to international soccer, we've got your summer sports fix covered. And let's not forget about those juicy NFL futures as we gear up for football season. At MyBookie.com, they're not just another faceless sports book. They've been our trusted partner here at the Zabecast for over 5 years because of their rock-solid reputation. At MyBookie, you'll get great odds that make you howl with delight, a wide array of props and futures to keep you engaged, and lightning-fast payouts without the hassle. Of course, as always, bet with your head, no over it. Ready to beat the heat and win big? Head to MyBookie.com now and use promo code ZABE. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. MyBookie.com. Your bookie, your way, all summer long.